He took the scenic route to the Colts, one that wound through the rolling hills of Kentucky and into Tennessee before finding its way home. Growing up in Indianapolis, he was a basketball fan first and foremost, a Reggie Miller fan in particular, but by the time he got to Cathedral, football had become his sport. He played in an offense that didn't feature the tight end, so although he played on a state championship team as a junior, recruiters had a difficult time finding him. He did land a scholarship to Western Kentucky because of a family connection, and he took advantage. His team didn't win a single game his freshman year, forcing a coaching change, but it all worked out because the new coach had a more pass-friendly offense. A fluke invitation to play in the Senior Bowl got him in front of the NFL scouts. He wasn't drafted, but he did get invitations for tryouts from several teams. He chose Tennessee, where he was able to play in all the exhibition games before he was released. But the hometown Colts came calling, and he stuck there. He played on special teams last season, and he got a chance to play some on offense, surviving the rookie season intact. Now he's preparing for another one, hoping to hang on for as long as he can. Like the song says, who says he can't go home? So let's hear the story. I'm Mark Monteith, and I'm going one-on-one with Jack Doyle.
This is One-on-One with Mark Monteith on 1070 The Fan. Brought to you by Georgetown Market, Indy's family-owned natural food store since 1973. Movie Time Video Productions, they make your memories last forever.
Okay, today's One-on-One episode comes from the fifth floor studios at MS Communications, downtown on the Circle. We're here with a Colt. Hard to get the Colts players in here, but when we do, we're really happy about it. Especially this guy, Jack Doyle, Indianapolis' own, a local guy. You're born in Indianapolis. Are your parents from Indy as well?
Yes, they are. Born and raised as well.
Where'd they go to school?
They went to Cathedral. My mom went to Cathedral, and my dad went to Cecina.
Okay.
So both on the east side of town.
Had your dad been an athlete?
Yes, he played basketball. He'll tell you he's a pretty good one, but I don't know.
He doesn't have any proof of that?
Well, yeah, he has a little bit, you know, but yeah, he played basketball, and my mom played volleyball at Cathedral and actually played volleyball at IUPUI.
So you get some athleticism from both sides, apparently.
Yeah, they'll argue over who takes more, I guess.
But your dad did not play football.
No, he did not. He was purely a basketball player.
So growing up, what was your favorite sport?
As a young kid, my favorite sport was basketball.
Yeah,
it's hard to grow up.
That.
Yeah, grow up in Indiana and not be a basketball fan and, you know, and want to play it. And, you know, with Reggie Miller being, you know, your first hero as a young kid and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, basketball was definitely my first love, and it kind of transformed into football through middle school and high school.
Mm-hmm. So why is it every time I bring in a professional athlete, their favorite sport as a kid was not the sport they're playing now?
I don't know. I kind of agree with, yeah, that's what it seems like it always is. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an answer for you.
Yeah, it's just weird. It's almost uncanny. I mean, almost every time, you know, I have somebody in here, it's a different sport that they really liked. You say Reggie Miller was your first sports hero?
Yeah. I mean, growing up with the Pacers, I was born in 1990. So growing up in those, that's why I remember seeing NBA on NBC with, you know, Pacers Bulls or whatever. So, yeah, that was a lot of fun watching the Pacers. And then, you know, it kind of transformed into the Colts taking over there in the 2000s. So yeah, it was a good time to grow up in Indy and be a sports fan.
Go to a lot of Pacer games?
Yes, I did. As we were talking about before the show, my mom works for the Pacers. So, mm-hmm. So ever since she's worked there, we kind of, you know, get tickets here and there and been to a lot of games.
Get autographs?
I don't know if I have too many autographs. I actually ball boyed for the Pacers when I was early high school.
Okay.
But yeah, not too many autographs. But yeah, obviously a lot of fun going to games.
Yeah. Any particular memories of interactions with players when you're having that opportunity? Or,
I mean, the main thing I remember the most is just watching Reggie Miller go through his warm-up routine. That was awesome to see. And I remember working my first few games, I wouldn't even be passing the ball to anybody else. I'd just be watching him go through his routine, and doesn't seem like he missed a shot. And, you know, growing up, seeing him as a child, and then and then watch him go through that was obviously very cool.
I wrote a story on that routine once for the Star. In fact, when he retired, I did a story because he would be out there way before anybody mm-hmm. else and have a very regimented, disciplined routine. He'd take a few shots around the basket, then he'd move out. I mean, it was really something to see, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a game in itself or performance in itself. It was really cool. And then, you know, I'd heard about it, obviously, you know, him being out there so early, and he was always the first one out there. And like you said, he'd start with those, he'd do some crazy shots by the front of the basket sometimes. And yeah, that was obviously a lot of fun to see.
Yeah. How about Colts games? Did you go to a lot of Colts games?
I probably, you know, would make my way to one a year or so, you know, just, you know, a buddy and his dad would ask me to go or something like that. I'd always seem to find a way down to the RCA Dome.
As a kid watching those games, did you even dare to imagine yourself being on the field playing in an NFL game?
No, I didn't. It's crazy to even think back to my, you know, 15, 14 year old self. And if someone would have told him where you'd be at, he wouldn't believe you. I'll tell you that much.
Really? Okay. So when did you start playing organized football?
I started playing organized football in third grade. I went to a Holy Spirit grade school. So I was in the CYO, you know, third through eighth grade. So yeah, I've been playing for a while.
Yeah. Were you pretty good from the very start?
Yeah, I'd say I was pretty good. You know, my grade school buddies would probably try and argue with who was the best back then, cause no one can really remember, I guess. But yeah, I had a lot of fun playing when I was younger, and obviously still have a lot of fun doing it.
What position were you in CYO football?
I was actually I had the stripe, you know, I was overweight, so I couldn't carry the ball. So I would,
they put a stripe on you.
Just put a stripe on top of your helmet. And I played right guard and then I'd play on defense. I'd play linebacker.
Okay. Now, were you playing basketball too at this age?
Yes. Yes. I was playing basketball. I wrestled and was playing baseball. So okay. Try and do a little bit of everything.
Did it all. At what point did football become your sport?
I'd say going to Cathedral, in high school, I, you know, obviously played freshman football and planned on playing basketball my freshman year, but ended up not even going out for the team because, you know, for different reasons or whatever, but I loved football my freshman year, and that's what all my friends were doing and all that kind of stuff. So from that point on, football became my sport.
Now, I read that you played rugby and were on a state championship rugby team at Cathedral.
Yes, I played rugby my senior year. It was more rugby was in the spring, and I was done with my senior year of football, and you know, it was something fun to do. And yeah, so I played rugby, and it was a great experience just trying to learn the game, learning a different sport. I'm obviously, you know, just an overall sports fan. So yeah, it was a lot of fun, you know, learning about it. And yeah, we ended up winning state. There's not a ton of teams participating.
I'm going to ask, how many teams are competing?
I don't know. Yeah. But yeah, not very many. But, you know, it was still cool to, you know, I can still tell people I won state.
Yeah, because I never hear about high school rugby. I didn't realize there was a state championship.
Yeah, board. it's a club sport. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't even know how all that works. But yeah, not too many teams.
Where was the state championship match held?
I think it was in Marion, Indiana. I could be completely wrong with that, but I'm pretty sure it was up there. I'm not. There might have just been there. A tournament there. I don't know. I can't remember now.
Yeah. So it's not like basketball where there'd be a school rally on Monday afterward, and you get out of school. You know, the rugby championships don't get celebrated like the others.
Yeah.
Do.
No. I think I might have been, since it is a spring sport, I might have already been graduated.
Okay.
When we won state, I'm not sure. Maybe yeah. I wasn't, but. Okay. No, that's getting a while ago now. It's a shame I can't remember things
yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Did you get like a trophy or a ribbon or anything?
Yeah, we all got rings.
Yeah.
I got a ring for it. So yeah, and there's some massive trophy that they give. I don't really remember. I just remember being super tall or whatever and kind of old school, but yeah, it was more of a thing, you know, doing with a bunch of high school buddies and, you know, a lot of guys that were in my senior class for football played, so we had a lot of fun.
Rugby's a crazy sport. I mean, did you enjoy that as much as football?
Yeah, I did. It is a lot different. Obviously, a lot of people around here aren't particularly familiar with it, but people try to argue, you know, what's more physical or, you know, what's harder to play. Rugby is more, you know, like soccer where you got to keep going and going. You don't really get a break in between plays. So that was the main difference for me is, you know, how to be able to keep running and running. But yeah, like I said, it was a ton of fun.
Good conditioning, if nothing else.
Yeah, absolutely. We ran a lot at practice and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So at what point in your high school football career did you become a tight end? Was that from the beginning, your freshman year?
Yes, my freshman year, I made the move from eighth grade playing right guard to playing tight end my freshman year at Cathedral.
Okay, probably grew some and got taller.
I never had like a huge growth spurt. I kind of never stopped. You know, I was an inch or two here or an inch there. And so, just kept growing all the way through high school.
Did you play defense as well?
I did not. We didn't have any players go both ways in my class. We was, you know, kind of the coach's strategy, just stick to one position. And so, just tied in.
At what point then in your high school football career did you think, hey, maybe there's a scholarship for me at some point?
I would say, you know, going into my senior year, you saw, you know, I obviously was tall, so I had the size to get attention from schools, I guess, and so, going into my senior year, and then had a pretty good senior year, and then wasn't highly recruited coming out of high school, and ended up making my way down to Western Kentucky.
Going back your sophomore year, you won state championship, right? Football?
It would have been my junior year.
2006?
2006.
Okay, state title.
Yeah.
What are your memories from that experience in that final game?
Yeah, it was awesome. I just remember we had a great senior class that year. Great leaders. We had, you know, running back William Stubbs, and I remember, you know, leader Bobby Powers. We had great leaders. That's what I remember. So I just remember after winning it my junior year, I really wanted to be like those guys, to someone that, you know, the younger players could look up to. And, you know, I tried to do that my senior year. We came up a little bit short my senior year, but it was a great ride at Cathedral, and I loved it.
How did you play in that state championship game then as a junior? Anything stick out?
No, I don't even think I had a catch. We had a senior tight end too. Mark Brannigan, we were kind of rotating in and out, but it was fun. We were pretty dominant that year all the way through the playoffs, and it was fun to come out on top.
Then how did it go your senior year? How far did you get in the tournament?
We got to semi-state, so the game before state, and got beat by Evansville Wrights.
Okay, now it seems like you didn't get a lot of balls thrown to you in high school. Your senior year, 21 passes for 400 yards, is that right?
Yeah, we liked to run the ball. we had a huge offensive line, and we had good running backs all the way through, so we liked to run the ball, and, you know, we'd get in two tight end sets and try and run it.
Is that frustrating for you?
No, I had a lot of fun with it, to be honest with you. It can hurt you in recruiting, obviously, but you know, I didn't really think of that at the time, to be honest with you. I wasn't being like, oh, I need to get the ball more so I'll get recruited. It was just a lot of fun with friends. You know, that's those memories you'll never forget with your high school days.
Doyle receives a scholarship offer, but he has to go out of state to get it when one-on-one continues. Back on One-on-One, Mark Monteith here with Colts tight end Jack Doyle. He barely received media recognition while playing at Cathedral, where he was mostly a blocker, so the recruiters weren't exactly stampeding to find him. Ultimately, it took a family connection for him to land a scholarship. Did you get all state recognition as a senior?
I think my senior year, maybe I was honorable mention. I don't even remember exactly what my I wasn't on the super team or anything like that. I'll tell you that much. But yeah, like I said, it's just memories you never forget.
Yeah, and or all city, anything like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I might have only been honorable mention all city, to be honest with you. I don't remember exactly. I'd probably remember if I was all city. Yeah. So I probably wasn't.
Yeah, that's interesting. An NFL player who didn't even get all city. That's kind of an unusual thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Tell me about the recruiting experience. And you go to Western Kentucky, but did you get any attention at all from Purdue, Indiana, the state schools?
Yes, I got you know, a little bit from Purdue, and they, you know, were wanting me to do the preferred walk-on deal. And you know, I was kind of planning on doing that, 'cause, you know, I thought I could play at that level. And then Western Kentucky kind of came in late and offered me a scholarship. So I was like, well, I'm obviously going to go, you know, where they're going to pay for school. So I went down there, and it was awesome. I loved it.
How did Western Kentucky find out about you? What was the connection there?
Well, there's actually kind of a family connection. My aunt, it's kind of confusing, but my aunt Peggy married Bobby Elson. So in his previous marriage, he had a son, David Elson, and he is the head coach of Western Kentucky. So my uncle Bobby kind of, you say, hey, you got to look at this kid or whatever. So he'll take credit for getting me down there. I'll tell you that much. But yeah, so kind of made my way down there, and like I said, I loved Western Kentucky.
Yeah. How late in the process did they come in? When did they offer you that scholarship?
It was probably the last, I think I went down there the last weekend of official visits. So, you know, the Saturday and Sunday. So it was probably that Sunday he offered me, the Sunday before the Wednesday of signing day, mm-hmm. or however that works. So, it was a blessing to get that offer so late. And you know, all things happen for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. And you got to play right away. I mean, your freshman year, catch to 37 balls for 365 yards. I think you kind of got in there right away. There was playing time for you.
Yeah, definitely. They were kind of going through a transition, going from Division I, Double A is what it was called. I'm confused on what it's called, like FCS or FBS.
Yeah,
But Division I, Double A, that's how I know it. And we were moving to D1A. So yeah, we're kind of going through that transition, and you know, we were the first Division 1A recruiting class, or so I redshirted because we weren't eligible for anything my first year, mm-hmm. and then going into my redshirt freshman year, we were able to participate and win conference and all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so it was your redshirt freshman year when you got that opportunity?
Yes.
Looking back on it now, do you think you were just overlooked because you didn't get a lot of balls thrown to you in high school, or were you kind of a late bloomer who wasn't maybe ready for Big Ten football or whatever out of high school?
Yeah, I mean, I was, you know, I was tall, but I was, you know, a skinny kid who didn't run real well, you know, so it was kind of, they just saw me kind of block and, you know, do okay blocking or whatever. So, you know, I just didn't get a lot of exposure, I guess. Kind of slid through the cracks, I guess, you know, that's just how it goes.
Yeah. So even though going to Western Kentucky and getting off to a nice start there, you're probably not thinking NFL then, are you?
Oh, not at all. you know, was lucky to even, you know, play at Western Kentucky that first year. And that first year was hard because I know we didn't win a game. We went 0-12. And
when you set out as a redshirt?
This has been my first year
okay,
playing.
Okay, when you played.
So my redshirt, you know, it gets confusing when you say redshirt freshman year. But yeah, so when I'm my first year of playing, we didn't win a game. You know, and I didn't even really understand that, how it has turned into a business so much. And, you know, the coaching staff got fired and all that kind of stuff. So I was, when that happened, I was, you know, kind of like, whoa, you know, what's going on? And did I make the right decision coming down here and all that kind of stuff? But it ended up working out.
Yeah. Did you think about transferring?
Yes, for a little bit. You know, kind of talked to my mom about it a little bit, but she was like, well, you know, just wait it out. You know, you're there on scholarship. You don't want to sit out a year or anything like that. So we waited to see the coach that came in and Willie Taggart came in. And I heard he had the, you know, Stanford background of using a bunch of tight ends, so I decided it'd be a good idea to stay.
Yeah, so it fit you. I mean, it gave you more opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? But didn't you get injured the next year?
Yes, my sophomore year, I ended up missing I believe, the last five games. So yeah, that going through an injury is never fun, obviously. But yeah, that was probably the roughest year of college, I'd say.
What was the injury?
I was kind of having a stinger issue. So I was I wasn't getting my strength back in my left shoulder and all that kind of stuff. So they kind of had to shut me down from contact for a few weeks. And it was even more frustrating because it's an injury that doesn't really hurt that bad. It's hard to shut it down. And, you know, it's always hard to not be out there with your teammates.
Yeah. Was elbow, shoulder? What?
It was more like my shoulder region. So, they wouldn't let me play. I tried to, but they wouldn't let me. They'll tell you stories about that. But it was tough. And like I said, just not being out there with teammates is always hard. I don't care if you're in third grade or, you know, senior year or in the professionals. It's always hard not to be out there playing.
So your next year, your junior year, your second team all-conference, Sun Belt Conference, and then your senior year, 53 catches, 566 yards, and 5 touchdowns, first team all-conference. That's kind of when you arrive on the scene, I guess. What allowed you to blossom like that? Was it just natural physical development, or were there other factors?
Just getting more comfortable into the offense. You know, my sophomore year would have been the first year under the new coach, Coach Taggart. You know, just getting more comfortable in the offense year by year, and that you know, you always hear that third year is supposed to be the year where, you know, things are clicking with a team under a new coach. So, you know, I felt like things were. We got off to a great start my senior year, and kind of fell off at the end, which stinks. But yeah, we went to our first bowl ever our senior year. So yeah, we tried to make our mark on the university, and I think our class did a little bit.
Yeah. So what memories stand out from your college football career that stay with you today? Anything, whether it was on the field or other things from your football career?
Yeah. Our biggest win was probably when we beat Kentucky my senior year. So that was a big deal. I know Kentucky wasn't very good, but they're still an SEC team to us.
Yeah. And this was at Kentucky, I assume? Or a home game for you?
Where did we play them at? Yeah, it was at Kentucky.
Yeah, I would think they wouldn't play you at Western Kentucky.
Yeah, we had a little home and away deal.
Probably 2-for-1, something like that.
Yeah, but we'd play in Nashville. We wouldn't play at Western Kentucky. Okay. We'd play at LP Field where the Titans play. So, okay. So yeah, I think this game was in Kentucky, I believe. I might be wrong with that too, but okay. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. We got the win in overtime, and you know, that kind of got us rolling off to a good start our senior year. So that'd be my best memory.
What bowl game were you in?
We were in the Little Caesars Bowl, which is in Detroit.
Hey,
the day after Christmas. So that was it's not your out in Pasadena Bowl, I'll tell you that much.
Who'd but you play?
We played Central Michigan, and we ended up we lost by maybe 3, I think.
Okay. Yeah, Central Michigan's always in a bowl, it seems like.
Yeah, I think they're always in that bowl, to be honest with you.
But you got a lot of free pizza probably, right?
Yeah, we did get we had to go up there for a media day, and we ate too much Little Caesars that month of December, I'll tell you that much.
But it worked out, and by then, surely you're thinking about the possibility of the NFL, right? I mean, when you win your first team all-conference and that type of thing, is it starting to sink in that that's a possibility for you?
Yeah, you know, going into my senior year, we had a running back make it in the NFL, Bobby Rainey, and I was like, oh, you know, you start seeing things like that, and you're like, well, maybe I can do this, and you know, you start getting contacted by agents and different stuff like that, and got contacted with Buddy Baker here out of Indianapolis, mm-hmm. And yeah, so just kind of, you know, you end that bowl game your senior year, and it's time to go. It's time to get ready for, you know, Combine, Pro Day, whatever you have coming up.
Doyle blossoms at Western Kentucky and awaits the NFL draft when One-on-One continues.
Who says you can't go home? Who says
We're back on One-on-One. Mark Monteith here with Cathedral grad and Colts tight end Jack Doyle. He took advantage of the opportunity to play at Western Kentucky and got a break when he was invited to play in the Senior Bowl. Then came draft day, when he could do nothing but sit there and sweat it out. Now tell the story of how you got in the Senior Bowl.
That was pretty crazy. I was training. You know, I wasn't invited to the combine, and I was just training for my pro day here in town at St. Vincent. And, you know, I was, you know, training. It was mid-January, and it was a Friday afternoon. And one of the trainers, Brandon, got a text from Matthew Pope, who works under Buddy. And he said, Jack needs to call me now. The Senior Bowl has been trying to get in contact with him all day. So I was someone had dropped out. One of the tight ends had dropped out of the Senior Bowl. So I got a late invite there. And yeah, that was a great opportunity to, you know, to perform and show that you can play.
Mm-hmm. And how'd you play in the Senior Bowl?
I thought I played pretty well. I had a good week of practice, and, you know, I feel like it helped me.
There's scouts watching practice, right? I mean, this is obviously just a show for the NFL scouts.
Yeah, the week of practice is probably more important than the game, they'll say. It's just a week of, going through a normal football practice that's pretty competitive, and you got scouts in the stands and stuff watching the whole time.
And then how'd the game go?
The game went good. I think I made a catch for, I don't know, maybe 15 yards or something like that. But I had one catch, and overall had a good week down there, I felt like.
So did you expect to get drafted at that point, coming out of that situation?
I thought it helped my chances. So I thought I had a good possibility of maybe being, you know, a late round draft pick, and you know, going into your pro day. It's just, you know, it's a crazy, crazy deal, I'll tell you that much. It's not fun for anyone to go through, to be honest with you, but it's so up and down. But I ended up not getting drafted, and went on to Tennessee, actually.
Yeah. What you were kind of projected as the maybe sixth or seventh round pick, perhaps. Where did you watch the draft from?
I watched it from my apartment in Bowling Green, Kentucky. My parents came down there and watched it with me. So had my girlfriend there, a couple buddies actually, you know, from Bowling Green, and a couple buddies that drove down from Indy that were there as well. So that was a long day.
I was gonna say, you're watching that the second day of it, or
yeah, they might do 3 days now.
Yeah, they have the first round, you know, by itself, but you're paying particular attention. What's that like, just sitting there hoping your name's going to get called with all this family around you?
It was almost harder on my parents, I think. I feel like I handled it pretty well, to be honest with you. My mom was cooking all kinds of stuff, so I was doing okay. Yeah. But yeah, it is a long, long process. And then you start getting calls, you know, the end of the sixth, early seventh, you start getting calls from teams saying, hey, you know, I want to draft you, but I don't know if they're going to let me, you know, take a tight end. But we want you to come in as an undrafted free agent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't really watch the seventh round. My phone was, you know, ringing a lot that whole time. So, you know, phone's ringing. I'm trying to call Buddy. So it was a crazy, crazy evening.
How many teams would you say called and offered free agent tryouts?
If I had to guess, probably 10. So I felt like it was a lot, and, you know, Buddy had already made a list of, you know, these are the teams we feel like you have the best chance of making the roster on, and all that kind of stuff if you go undrafted. So he was ready to go with it all, and, you know, like I said, I was communicating back and forth, and, you know, I think my phone even shut off for a moment because it was going it was going crazy. But it was a good day to get over with, I guess.
Were the Colts one of those teams?
I actually did not.
Yeah,
I did not get a. They did not offer me as an undrafted free agent, and it's just crazy how things work out.
People often say it's better at that point to not get drafted because you can pick a team that you have the best chance of making, as opposed to getting drafted by a team that maybe is loaded up at your position.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you can pick a team that, you know, maybe they only have three tight ends on their roster instead of a team with six, and you're the seventh guy as soon as you show up. So yeah, you definitely want to go somewhere where you're gonna have more opportunities, so sometimes it does work out for the better that way.
Why did you pick Tennessee?
Like I said, you know, Buddy had a list already made up, and he, you know, they had maybe four tight ends on roster, maybe five. I can't remember who's all there, but we felt like I had a good opportunity there, and you know, it ended up being close to where Bowling Green, Kentucky. It's only about an hour away, so yeah, it was a good opportunity, and I'm very thankful for the Titans for the opportunity. They helped me a ton to get better in the amount of time I spent with them.
Yeah. So how much time passed from the end of the draft to when you decided or told the Titans you would go with them?
Probably, you know, not long, maybe 20 minutes. Like it's, you make decisions then, cause you know,
they want to know
cause they'll move on to the next guy.
Yeah.
It's that's why I was getting all those calls and my phone was shutting off and it was crazy. That's the best way. I can't find another word, but it was just madness in that apartment. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. So the Titans, you're with them in the preseason. They wind up releasing you, but how much opportunity did you get with them? How many games did you play in?
I played in the four preseason
All
games.
Four?
Yeah, okay. And they gave me ample time to be out there. I played pretty much all of the fourth game pretty much, and played a lot in the second game. So I had a lot of opportunity because there was some guys that were banged up. I know Delanie Walker was banged up for most of camp, and that was kind of their go-to guy going into it. So it gave me an opportunity to play. And, you know, you're not only playing for the Titans at that moment in preseason, you're playing right. for
the whole
you know, all the other teams. So, so yeah, it's just, you know, they always say the film's your resume. So I tried to do the best I could, and they ended up cutting me, but, you know, ended up here. And like I said, you know, it all kind of happens for a reason, I guess.
Were you surprised to get released? Did you think you had the teammate or?
I was kind of 50-50, to be honest with you. I was, you know, you start playing the number game when it comes down to it. And, they would have had to keep four tight ends for me to stay there. And teams don't usually do that. Usually it's the three. So I didn't know. But I kind of felt like they were going to. So yeah, you end up getting that guy comes and talks to you early that, you know, I don't know what day, maybe a Saturday morning or whatever, and you go meet with the coach. It's not fun. They say, you know, once you get cut though. So it's not that big of a deal looking back on. Like I said, it'd be different if I didn't get picked up somewhere or something like that. But yeah, I'm very thankful for the Titans and the help they gave me in that whole mm-hmm. process.
How do they give you the word? We hear the thing like, hey, so-and-so wants to see you, bring your playbook.
Yeah, I was kind of there early, and I was sitting in my locker, and, you know, I think it was the head coach's assistant comes up to me, and he's like, hey, Coach Munchak wants to see you, or, you know, one of those things. So, so then I end up making my way down to his office, and he's like, you know, grab your playbook or whatever. So
yeah, so you know.
Yeah, so yeah, you know, but you know, it's the day of it. So as soon as you try not to look anybody in the eye that day, and hopefully if they don't see you, they won't cut you. But
right, you're hiding.
Yeah, you're trying to hide that whole day. But yeah, that's just the way it goes.
Doyle gets a second chance at an NFL career with the Colts of all teams when One-on-One continues. Welcome back to One-on-One. Mark Monteith here with Cathedral grad and Colts tight end Jack Doyle. He was released by the Tennessee Titans, but it didn't take long for his hometown team to come calling. So here he is, experiencing the pros and cons of playing in his hometown. So how much time passed between when the Titans released you until you heard from the Colts?
I was cut on a Saturday morning, I believe. And then you have that, you know, it's 24 hours where you got to clear waivers or whatever. So, you know, that Saturday night goes on and I'm talking to Buddy and, you know, he's not hearing much because it's so, you know, it's such a secret thing of, you know, who's trying to claim you or whatever, however that whole process works. But he's like, yeah, you know, the Titans had told me that they want to sign me to their practice squad, even though they cut me, but you have to clear those waivers for that time. So it was the next day, that Sunday morning, and I'm going in to sign back with the Titans because, you know, I haven't heard anything yet, back to their practice squad. And, you know, they have a lady that was checking to make sure we all cleared waivers. So I'm actually in the Titans facility, and Buddy's trying to call me, but this lady's talking to me at the same time. She's like, well, you all didn't clear waivers, Jack. You were claimed by the Colts. So I'm sitting in the Titans facility, and they're telling me, you know, I got claimed by the Colts. So, so yeah, that was crazy. I started shaking and all that kind of fun stuff. But, but yeah, it was a good day.
I think most people would assume that being claimed by your hometown team is the best thing ever. But were there any negatives to that for you? I mean, are there distractions playing in your hometown, that type of thing?
There can be. There's definitely pros and cons to it. It's awesome for my family. I'm happy for them that they get this experience, and they have 10 times more fun with it than I do. So it's great for them. But I have to, you know, what I've tried to do is, you know, remember this is a job and, you know, why I'm here. And it doesn't matter where I am. You know, it doesn't matter that I'm in hometown. I'm here to do a job. And, you know, that's what I try to do through the year. And, you know, my family does a great job at the same time of, you know, eliminating distractions, not letting anybody bug me. My mom won't, you know, I got tons of family in town, you know, a big Catholic family. So they're always, they're not trying to bug me, but my mom does a great job of making sure that they're not, you know what I mean? They're great, but yeah, it can get overwhelming at times.
She runs interference for you.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Now the Colts had drafted tight ends, you know, Kobe Fleener, Dwayne Allen. When you came here, did you think this was a place of good opportunity or?
You know, I didn't know. I was shocked when they claimed me, to be honest with you. I was absolutely shocked. And so I knew I was just going to come in here and, you know, do the best I could, you know, help out on special teams as much as I could. And, you know, ended up hanging around for the whole season.
Yeah. So tell me about the season. I mean, you caught 5 balls. You know, you had your first catch was against Denver. Did you keep that ball? Do you have souvenirs, memorabilia from your season?
No, I don't have that ball. but yeah, that was kind of, you know, the full circle, you know, with Peyton Manning back in town with Denver and, you know, making my first catch that game. It was a lot of fun. That was a heck of a game, obviously. And we had a ton of games that were, you know, down to the wire or comebacks or different things like that. So it was a blast this year. It really was.
What's it like working with Andrew Luck? You know, we hear so much about him. Everybody knows how good he is, how much better he can still be from a tight end perspective as somebody who's kind of working with him. What's that like?
He's awesome. He's everything you hear about. He's always trying to help you. He wants things to be as easy as possible for you. So he's asking, you know, what could I do to make this, you know, an easier ball for you or, you know, different things like that. Or how can I make this, you know, cadence easier for you or this pass concept signal easier for you. He's all about making things easier for the guys around him. And that's what makes him such a great leader at such a young age.
Mm-hmm. I think your reputation is as a blocker, first and foremost. Is that fair? And do you feel like you're kind of underrated as a receiver or is blocking clearly your strength?
I try to take a lot of pride in being able to do both, to be honest with you. You know, I like to, you know, think that I can do both, and I know I can do both, but I like to work on everything. I don't want to be called a blocker. I don't want to be called, you know, oh, he can't block. He's just out there catching passes. I want to be able to do both and help the team in any way I can.
Mm-hmm. Now, a guy in your position has to play special teams. How was that? That's got to be.
Yeah, it was.
People talk like it's being in an auto accident, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just so chaotic.
It's different. You know, I didn't play much special teams in college. Early on, I did a little bit, but yeah, it's fun. It really is. It's just one play where you just get to go all out. And I had a blast back out there. I hadn't had to tackle anybody in a long time and, you know, just, making a couple of tackles and different things like that was a lot of fun.
Got to be a little crazy, right?
Yeah, you got to be
reckless.
Yeah, absolutely. it's just one play where, you know, they always say, you know, one special team play equals, you know, about seven regular offensive plays. You know, it's just, it takes so much out of you. But it's a blast out there. It's, you know, it's 11 guys all trying to go who can make the tackle first or you know, who's not going to let their guy make the tackle. So it was a lot of fun.
Is it kind of like rugby?
Yeah, a little bit. Of it? A little bit, yeah, because it's, you know, it's a long run. It's a longer play most of the time. So yeah, I had a lot of fun.
So what are you doing here in the off season to get better and to prepare for the next season?
Yeah, I'm working over at the Colts complex right now. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm from here, and a lot of guys go back to their hometowns or, you know, go somewhere else to train. But I'm working with them. I worked a little bit with St. Vincent, who I worked with before the draft, before my rookie year, obviously. So yeah, I'm just, you know, trying to get better every day, it's different. You know, it's different off season coming out of your rookie year because, you know, there's not a scheduled thing to do every day. So you have to learn to, you know, schedule yourself and get in a routine. And I feel like I have now, and I'm just ready to get back going.
Do you have somebody to throw balls to you?
The equipment guys will help you out. And, you know, they have jugs machines, what they call them, that will shoot to you and different things like that. So you have every opportunity to work to get better.
Where's Andrew Luck in the off season? Where does he go?
I believe he's in Stanford right now.
Stanford.
Yeah. I'm not sure when he's coming back, but yeah, I'm pretty sure he's at Stanford right now working out.
Do you kind of feel like you're going to have to fight for your job every single year, or do you feel like you can get to a point where you have some security?
As of right now, yeah, I have to fight for it every single year. And even the guys that feel a little security, I believe, you know, the Reggie Waynes or the Robert Mathises, they take the approach that they're fighting for their job, and, you know, that's what makes them better. Mm-hmm. You know, competition always brings out the best in you and always makes you better. So no matter what, I'm always going to have to, you know, I'm going to feel that, and that's what's going to fuel me to make me a better player.
Mm-hmm. Do you work with, like, Fleener and Allen in the off seasons, and do those guys try to help you, or is there too much competition?
Oh, no, those guys are too nice not to help you. Dwayne's helped me a ton, you know, with different things this off season. He took me to a Pacer game, just helping me out, you know, and just making sure I'm comfortable with, obviously I'm kind of comfortable with the city, but, you know, just being a good guy and helpful. And Kobe helped me so much, you know, during the season, and just, you know, they're only second year guys, but, you know, they already been through so much, playing so much as they did their rookie years. So I learned a lot from both of them.
What is it you can tell people about the NFL that might surprise them? Or what surprised you about it? You know, is there something about playing in the NFL that people might not understand or appreciate?
Just how much goes into each game. You know, everyone just sees the product on Sunday. They'd be amazed how much effort that the coaches, the players, and trainers and everybody puts into each game, and how hard it is to win a game in the NFL.
Yeah.
It's everyone's trying to do it, and everyone's got the best of the best. So it's so difficult just to win one game in the NFL. And that's kind of the thing I've seen. And, you know, growing up being blessed with, you know, 12 win teams every year, you know, the team I was rooting for, the Colts. So yeah, it's just crazy to see how much goes into it.
Did you find yourself, particularly your first game with the Colts, kind of pinching yourself like, I can't believe I'm here? You know, I came to these games as a kid, you know, watching the Colts play, and here I am in uniform?
Yeah, I haven't a little bit here and there. I'll catch myself when I'm driving in or, you know, different things like that. I think it's something I'll really appreciate later on in life. It's hard to really appreciate it now because I'm so, you know, I'm trying to focus on getting better every day and just trying to, you know, do the best I can. So I try not to think about too much, but yeah, there'll be moments. I'd be lying to you if I didn't think, wow, like I'm driving to, you know, West 56th Street, the Colts complex right now. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So what about beyond football? I mean, hopefully this lasts a long time, but what do you want to do after an NFL career?
I've thought about different things. I always wanted to be a firefighter since I was, you know, middle school. I've always kind of wanted to do that. So I'm trying to, David Thornton, who's a director of player personnel over there, is is helping out with our player development, is helping out with, you know, he gets guys into internships and shadowing. So he's helped me out to get me to different places and just check out what you like. You know, you gotta plan, because it obviously doesn't last forever. And so, yeah, I'm just trying to, that's kind of the thing that I always wanted to do. And I actually graduated with a physical education degree. So I thought I wanted to teach too. So I got some options that I'm trying to, you know, pinpoint what I want to do.
But put them off as long as you can.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Okay. Jack, got a theme question that I ask everybody for the show. When you're sleeping at night, do you have dreams that you're playing football? Do you play football in your dreams when you're sleeping?
I have before. I wouldn't say I do it all the time, but yes, definitely. I've had dreams. When you do it so much, I feel like that's what happens in dreams.
And what happens? Are you playing well, or are you dropping balls, or what's happening?
You know, usually in dreams I play bad.
Yeah, that's not unusual.
Yeah,
I feel bad.
Yeah, I guess the fear of failure or whatever comes out in dreams. I don't know, but yeah, usually I don't play very well. Yeah,
Larry Bird told me the same thing. You know, that when he dreams about playing basketball, he usually does not play very well.
So that definitely makes me feel better.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it means anything. I hear it both ways. Some guys say they play great. Some guys don't. So you're like, you're having a hard time hanging on to the ball. Huh?
Yeah, usually I don't play well. And you know, was that real? You know, I wake up like that. But yeah, good thing it's all a dream.
One-on-one with Jack Doyle continues in a moment. Welcome back to One on One. I'm Mark Monteith. Hey, I appreciate Jack Doyle's contribution to the cause. You know, not many guys get to play for a professional franchise in their hometown, do they? He's found it can be a bit of a mixed blessing at times, but he's hardly complaining. He's living the dream, in fact. Not the ones he has while sleeping at night, but the one he could barely dare to have while playing at Cathedral, where the recruiters could barely find him. Guys like him make you wonder how many players could have made it to the NFL if they had been discovered somewhere along the way and gotten enough chances. Now, if you missed part of this conversation or want to hear one of the others in the one-on-one library, all you got to do is head for 1070thefan.com. Click on shows, click on one-on-one, click on the podcast link, and they all await your attention. You can reach me by email at mark@1070thefan.com, and I'm available on Facebook and Twitter, with the Twitter handle being @MarkMonteith. Tune in again next week when I talk with another Indy native playing for the Colts, Joe Wrights. He didn't even play college football, but he still found a way to the NFL. That story next week, right here on FM 107.5 and 1070 The Fan. Whoa, who says you can't?